relationships, religion, reality. This is the good news on Glenn Klein Online.
In store, love is the drug, and I need to score. Showing up, showing up, hit them run. Boy meets girl, where the beat goes on. Stitched up tight, can't shake me. Love is the drug, got a hook on me.
You beautiful humans, this is Glenn Klein Online. It is hump day, Wednesday, August 22nd, 2012, the only August 22nd, 2012 in the history of humanity.
Oh, sinner, do not stray from the straight and narrow way, for the Lord is surely watching what you do. If you approach the devil's den, lest the hand of the Almighty fall on you. He'll fuck you up.
He'll fuck you up. Yes, God will fuck you up. If you dare to disobey his stern command,
he'll fuck you up.
He'll fuck you up. Don't you know he'll fuck you up? So you better do some praying while you can.
By special request of our senior correspondent here on the Good News on Glenn Klein Online, let's please welcome in that senior correspondent from the Queen City of Cincinnati, Ohio. Please say hello to Mr. Greg Amberger. Gregory!
I was listening to it. I heard the guitar going, and I went, oh, no, you didn't.
John R. Butler, ladies and gentlemen, with one of the great satirical songs. In fact, Sean, can we bring that back up? Yeah, start it over. We'll talk underneath it a little bit, or over it, if you will. Don't stray from the whatever he said, the straight and narrow way. If you approach the devil's den, here we go.
He'll fuck you up. He'll fuck you up. Yes, God will fuck you up. If you dare to disobey his stern command,
he'll fuck you up.
He'll fuck you up. Don't you know he'll fuck you up? So you better do some praying while you can.
Long ago, a man named Lot had a wife he thought was hot, but she could not stop her black and sinful ways. You know it.
What happened?
Was her own damn fault when God turned that bitch to salt.
Turned that bitch to salt. Everybody, he'll fuck you up. Hey, God will fuck you up.
When the people went and turned their backs on him, he can fuck you up.
He'll fuck you up. No shit, he'll fuck you up. Just like he fucked the people up back then.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that in a nutshell, and although it is satirical, John R. Butler has completely and perfectly communicated Christianity to you live from Tampa Bay, Florida. That's the truth, Gregory. I mean, that's what Christianity thinks, is that if you do not repent, God is going to F you up.
I used to be part of one of the Midwest bigger seeker-friendly churches, and as I said last week, it's pretty hard to disguise as seeker friendly something who's one of their basic foundational principles is you're going to, most of the world's going to spend billions and billions of years in eternal hellfire. It's kind of hard to be seeker sensitive.
Yeah, it's even more than billions and billions of eternity. It's eternity. That's like forever, you guys. This is the God of Christianity. God loves you, and if you don't do what he says, you don't believe the way that we say that you should believe. If you're not baptized, if you don't give your tithe, if you commit fornication, etc., 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 you're going to end up in a torture chamber that would make Adolf Hitler, Saddam Hussein, Joseph Stalin, Pol Pot, Assad in Syria, Gaddafi, who he killed, Osama bin Laden, and so many others throughout human history, and make them jealous. That is what is awaiting the fate of those that do not believe in the right way. You guys, here's what we have to say. Horse hockey to that. See how I cleaned that up?
That was good.
Michael Williams, and for you guys that have been following the saga, will be happy to know, Michael and I have been talking on a regular basis recently. I'm looking forward to having him back on Wednesday night, hopefully in the near future. He's been going through some of his own trials and tribulations as well in the wake of Richard Mull's passing away, and also in the wake of his book, One, The Gospel According to Mike, coming out. But he came out with a brilliant piece a couple days ago entitled The Psychology of the Gospel. And he talked about the fact that to embrace or to promote the thought that there is a still angry God today would be akin to promoting back in the day the fact that the earth was flat. Michael said that is how disconnected from reality the teaching and the precept is of a still angry God, ready to judge you, ready to teach you a lesson, ready to put you in your place, and ultimately ready to send you to a place of burning eternal torment forever if you don't do it the right way. That's how disconnected from reality that doctrine is, ladies and gentlemen. We're happy to report the ultimate good news on this Wednesday night, that according to the Hebrew scriptures, the scriptures that Yeshua, that Jesus taught, were the scriptures, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, as foretelling what would happen, God's not pissed off anymore. Not at all. He's not mad at anybody. He came to peace with the whole situation, oh, I don't know, 2,000 years ago. And now that is the mindset that will set one free. That's what this program's all about, is setting you guys free in your mind so that you can have a better day. You can have a better life. You can have less of a cough.
I need a cough button.
You do. You do need a cough button. A man that knows oh so well what I am speaking of right now is also online with us. Please welcome on to the good news, our Facebook laureate. We know him, we love him. It would be extremely difficult to live without him. Please welcome online from the great state of Virginia, Mr. Germ Acosta. Germ!
Good evening, Glenn and Greg.
Good evening, Germ. You sound good?
Yeah, I feel pretty good right now.
For you guys that are logging on for the first time or for the first time in a few weeks, our boy Germa there in Stafford, Virginia, has been battling lymphoma. What is the official name of your disease, young man?
It's just classical Hodgkin's lymphoma.
It's classical Hodgkin's lymphoma. Yeah. You can follow Germa on Facebook. Just friend him. He'll be happy to respond to your friendship at Germa Colston, GIRMACOLSTON, Germa Colston. He's been reporting, probably ever since you got on Facebook, but certainly since you were diagnosed with cancer. And tell the beautiful humans all over the planet how you're doing, what the diagnosis is, the treatment you're on, and how you're feeling.
Yeah, but basically, I've already completed two cycles of chemotherapy. I've got like about four more to go. It puts a lot of stress on me, really. But you know, it gets better, I think, with hopefully with each one. And so basically, I was, you know, for those that don't know, I was in the hospital for 2.5 weeks, from the late July through August the 6th, is when they discharged me. You know, basically, you know, it's very treatable. That's the good news. It's, you know, survival rate is at 95%. So, I mean,
have you reported that on Facebook that it's been 95%? I know you reported that it was the most treatable, but I didn't see that 95%. You may have.
I probably did not say that on Facebook. Yet,
I think you should say that on Facebook, because your friends around the world would love to see that, just as a hopeful sign.
Yeah, that's something I should, that I plan to do. But yeah, basically four more cycles, and it's, you know, just dealing with the side effects of the treatment, but more of a nuisance thing than anything else. Certainly nothing life-threatening that I know of, but I am dealing with this, you know, blood clot that I have to take, you know, Coumadin medication for, and so I've got a doctor that monitors me every 3 days or so. To get my to make sure my blood level gets back up to where it should be. So,
dude, you've been plugged into the Gospel Revolution, the radio program on Wednesday nights for a long time now, and you followed obviously closely the story of Richard Mull, who was on the show a lot, especially in the last couple of years after he was diagnosed with cancer. How has his story affected you emotionally and psychologically?
Well, for one thing, I mean, I was really, of course, very saddened and surprised to, you know, hear about his death. And, you know, it's unfortunate that he had to go so soon, that he ended up going so soon. I mean, it's... I just wish that you know, things could have worked out for him to be around longer, because I know it's been an honor for many people, you know, to know him and spend time with him and stuff.
He would want to be around. Mike talked about that.
Yeah.
The last time Mike was on the show, is that Richard did not want to die. I mean, he was resolved to the fact, and he was good with the fact of what was going to happen to him. When he passed away, regardless. But when you hear about situations that you're aware of, people that you know that are going through cancer treatments, that are going through situations, and frankly, I mean, what Richard was facing and what you were facing as far as cancer is concerned is pretty much at the polar opposites. But still, what has been your emotional effect by, whether it be Richard or other things you hear in the news or whatever, how is that impacting you?
Well, I mean, it for one thing, I mean, I feel kind of, you know, grateful that I'm in the position where, you know, at least the type of cancer I have is not as serious as many of the other cancers that I hear about in the news, but I do, you know, just, I mean, I feel sympathetic for, you know, all those that are going through a much harder time with the different cancers, and, you know, and I'm learning more as I go along, and I read up things on the internet about, you know, different cancer patients go through and stuff.
Did you have an opportunity to read Mike's newsletter on the psychology of the gospel this week?
No, I did not.
All right, well, it's on, you guys. It's on Mike Williams. I assume it's on Mike Williams, gospelrevolution.com, and certainly on the Friends of Mike Williams on Facebook. And the bottom line, you guys, it's an incredible newsletter, but the psychology of the gospel is to the cleansing of your mind, the cleansing of your brain, the cleansing of the soul, as Paul the Apostle said, the renewing of the mind. Gurma, going through this, and you're a guy that's immersed in the gospel all the time. How have you noticed that being a stabilizing force as you have meditated and contemplated and written and talked about the gospel?
Well, I mean, I do have a peace of mind, at least in relationship to God, and even beyond that, I guess I see more of the good in everybody now. I don't know, something has happened where, you know,
even more. I mean, you've understood that everybody's good to go with God for a long time now, so you're saying that even more so going through what you're going through, that the repetition and the meditation of the gospel has produced the sense that your appreciation for everybody even more.
Yes, that everybody that I see, you know, even I see the inherent goodness in all human beings, no matter who they are.
I had a very strange experience watching the Olympic coverage a couple of weeks ago on NBC here in the United States. Tom Brokaw did a little feature, because it was quite well done, actually, about what England went through during World War II, and especially before the United States got involved in World War II. And as a Jewish kid growing up and being Jewish throughout a person's life, you're acutely aware and attuned to the Holocaust and what happened. I should have a cough button as well, Gregory.
Yes.
Acutely aware of what happened in Nazi Germany and in Europe during the Nazis' reign there in the 1930s and 40s. And, of course, I've seen images of Hitler as long as I can remember. But in this coverage on the Olympics with Tom Brokaw, there was really quality. They cleaned up the footage, and there was Hitler, I mean, live in HD in color. And I have to say that I had no hate in my heart for Adolf Hitler. And you guys know that I reported to you that when it was announced that Osama bin Laden was killed, I was happy for him. I was happy for him that he was finally freed from the religious bondage that he had been put under from the time he was a little child. I feel the same way about Hitler. I feel the same way about anybody who is under religious bondage, whether they get freed in their death or freed prior to their death.
Yes.
You guys, I know you think we're going to be talking about sexuality tonight, and we are. We're going to be talking about human sexuality. This is all tied together, isn't it, Gurma?
Oh, absolutely.
Knowing how prolific you are on Facebook, I was hoping you'd have more to say than that, but I appreciate your affirmation. How about you, Gregory? That comment.
What was the question?
It wasn't really a question. It was more of a comment. The comment is that religion has really screwed things up, not just on human sexuality, but on all fronts.
Yeah, I believe I started to say something I've decided I'm not going to say. But yes, I agree that that it colors everything in a way that I don't think we even realize how much it colors every single part of our lives, especially those of us that were raised in it, and how much it influences. You know, I know I need a little gospel every day, or I backslide, because.
Wait. You've got to define for all of our Christian friends out there, and for those that are familiar with the Christian term backslidden. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that I my mind is not renewed to the fact that I'm righteous and holy and blameless and sinless before God, because I have been so programmed my entire life to believe that I am not that way, and. You know, so it affects decisions you make. It affects. I have a lot of friends who are incredibly talented people who are just very self-destructive and that just run away from success and from, you know, just the good things in life because we don't think we deserve it. And that comes from a religious mindset that says you're not good enough. Because, so I get a little gospel, I get saved, and it's all good.
Right, but you guys, the gospel, the good news of your perfection vis-a-vis the way that God Almighty sees you is so perfect and so consistent and so logical and rational that it actually will stabilize your emotions and your soul. It'll actually lift you up. It will do nothing else for you. The gospel actually doesn't do anything for you.
The gospel doesn't redeem you. It just lets you know you're redeemed.
It lets you know you're redeemed. And here's what the power of this good news. It's good. That's what gospel means, you guys. It's news. It's information. The good news is that you are no longer guilty or on the verge of being judged. God is not going to fuck you up, you guys. Ever. Gurma's got cancer right now. I've got issues in my body. Well, Greg doesn't have any issues. Sean may have some issues. I don't know. Sean, do you got any issues?
I hurt my knee the other day.
You hurt your knee. God was not, I'm telling you, brah, God was not trying to teach you a lesson by hurting your knee. Trust me. You believe that, right?
Yes.
Thank you. There's Sean O'Hanlon, ladies and gentlemen. We have a line available to you that Sean is wanting to take your calls at 1-800-436-3260. That is the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline, 1-800-436-3260. You guys, that's in North America. Those that are listening all over the world, if you're listening live and it's about 23 minutes after 9 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States of America, you can call us, too, at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773 is the direct line here in, ironically, the Bay of the Holy Spirit. That is the original name of Tampa Bay, Florida, where a week from today we will be in the midst of the Republican National Convention here in Tampa. Yes, the Republicans are on the verge of nominating Mitt Romney as president for their party and Paul Ryan from my former home state of Wisconsin as vice president. And this kind of dovetails nicely into our conversation on sexuality. Gurm, you want to hang with us or what's up? You want to listen in on the phone? You want to hang with us or how you feeling?
Yeah, I can hang with
All right, that's awesome. You guys know that we deal with all things good news. Now, the gospel is the good news. But anything that is newsworthy or that is uplifting or that is informative or things, frankly, that I'm interested in, we talk about on this here radio show. And the Republican Party was in an uproar this week in this country because this last Sunday, Missouri Congressman Todd Akin, who's running for Senate in Missouri, when asked a question about his stand on abortion in case of rape, he's against abortion in the case of rape, he said, "It seems to me, from what I understand from doctors, that's really rare." Mr. Akin said of pregnancies occurring from rape. "If it is a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut the whole thing down. But let's assume that maybe that didn't work or something. I think there should be some punishment, but the punishment ought to be to the rapist and not attacking the child." You guys, I've got views on abortion. Gurma's got views on abortion. Sean's got views on abortion. You've got views on abortion. Greg's got views on abortion. We're not talking about abortion right now. We are talking about a mindset. This guy is a self-proclaimed Christian, and we're talking about a mindset. Now, he has since apologized, not for his thinking, but for his words. But what is the thinking, or what is the influence been on Congressman Aiken's life that would even utter a word called legitimate rape or think that people could not be conceived through rape, that somehow rape would be different than any kind of sexual intercourse vis-a-vis the procreation process? I'm going to tell you right now, folks, the reason that he thought that and where he got that information from, frankly, was from a right-wing conservative Christian doctor. Back in the 1970s, frankly, which seems like in antiquity at this point, back in the Stone Age, but the mindset is still there. And Christianity, biblical Christianity, conservative fundamentalist Christianity, has affected the way that both men and women in Western culture, even in places where Christianity doesn't even have that big a hold anymore, places like Switzerland and Sweden and Great Britain, and more in the United States, it's affected how everybody thinks about human sexuality. And it's a challenge, you guys. Everything changed. Greg did such a great job last week of outlining. If you guys did not hear last week's show, go back and listen to it on the archive. Greg did a phenomenal job of talking about just biblical marriage and what marriage was like. And Gregory, one of the things that was so powerful that you said, which of course is completely contrary to what we have in 2012 here in the 21st century, is that back in the Bible days, when they were writing that stuff and talking about it originally as an oral tradition, which of course eventually was written down, is that women literally had no rights.
No rights whatsoever. And you make the case, Glenn, that forcing a 13-year-old girl to marry a 25 or 30-year-old man and have sex with him was rape?
Or
I think you could probably make that case.
Or could we say legitimate rape, if you will?
Probably.
Let's be real about this, you guys. If the story that was foretold in the Jewish scriptures that we see retold in the New Testament writings, which we do not believe is scripture, and the reason that we do not believe the New Testament is scripture is because it couldn't be. At least it couldn't be the scripture that Yeshua, that Jesus, and the disciples were talking about, because it hadn't been written yet. It couldn't be what they were talking about. They were talking about a specific writing. Yeshua, fortunately, as documented in the New Testament, defined the scriptures for us as a law, the Psalms, and the prophets of what we call the Old Testament. They didn't call it the Old Testament. It wasn't the Old Testament. The Old Testament was, of course, the testament of the blood of bulls and goats. That was the Old Testament. It wasn't a compilation of writings. The New Testament is a finished work that was done in the Lamb of God, if you will, in Yeshua. It was a foretelling. It was a foreshadowing. It was an incredibly intricate, detailed foreshadowing. But the scriptures, if they are accurate, that, as I said, is retold in the New Testament, God had sex, he had intercourse with a 13-year-old virgin. God did that. There was no permission from her father. God did that. God infused Miriam, the Virgin Mary, Miriam was her Hebrew name, with the seed of the Holy Spirit that produced the Savior of the world, that produced a God-man, a man-God, if you will, named Joshua, not Jesus. His name wasn't Jesus, for God's sake. His name was Joshua in English, Yeshua in Hebrew. His name was salvation. The angel shows up to Mary and says, hey, this that you are with is going to save your people. So call him Joshua. She understood exactly what he meant. Call him salvation. That's a great name for a savior, by the way.
Yes. It's better than of Zeus, definitely.
Yeah, Jesus, of Zeus, of the Greek god Zeus. I think that salvation is a better name for the savior of the world than of Zeus. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, I agree. during my show.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you going to say? I disagree, you MF-er. That's Germa Colston online from Stafford, Virginia. Greg Ambergy, our senior correspondent from Cincinnati, Ohio. This is where we go to the music for the break. Sean is standing there yawning. Don't worry, we're going to talk about sex, Sean, when we come back. I promise you. Don't go anywhere, you guys. This is Glenn Klein Online. Stay tuned. The good news on Glenn Klein Online is brought to you in part by theguruofgratitude.com. The Guru of Gratitude. Make money being nice. Give the Guru of Gratitude a call. 888-493-7482. TheGuruOfGratitude.com. That number, once again, toll-free, all over North America, 888-493-7482. TheGuruOfGratitude.com. Also available on Facebook at The Guru of Gratitude. Welcome back in, beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. Taking your calls tonight, we'd love to hear from you at 813-425-5773 or toll-free at 800-436-3260. 800-436-3260. Let's see if we can keep Sean up. Give him a call. We got Germa Colston and Greg Ambergy online with us tonight. And I think we've fairly well established, gentlemen, that the women in the scriptures had no rights. We know, you guys know the history of this, that women were the property of their men. And women had no rights for marriage. They had no rights for divorce. They had no rights to property. Now, you guys that follow this webcast know that we believe in a creator. Do we not, gentlemen?
Yes, we do.
We think it's logical. If you will pick up your cell phone as we speak, or just look at it, or pretty much look at anything in your office or your car or your home, wherever you happen to be listening to this webcast from, and look at anything, your watch, your cell phone, your television, the shirt that Sean Halloran is very handsomely modeling as we speak. If somebody were to ask you, did somebody make those items? Did somebody make that? If you had to answer a yes or a no, you would answer yes. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what religion you've had a bad experience with. You would say, yes, somebody made that. Why? Because it's logical. So many times I've asked atheists, as we've been talking about this, I don't care what you guys believe vis-a-vis the creation of the creator of the universe. Personally, I only care about you. I want you to have your soul cleansed. I want you to have your mind renewed. I want you to have your emotions lifted and to have a better day. You can believe whatever you want. It's not going to make a difference in eternity. You're not going to go to hell no matter what you believe, no matter what you do, no matter who you hang around with, even if you drink, smoke, or chew, or hang around with girls that do. You're going to go to heaven. Whatever heaven is, wherever Richie Mull is right now, wherever Osama bin Laden is right now, who else just died recently? The guy who... Phyllis Diller died, yes. The guy that directed Top Gun just died. I saw that in the news yesterday.
Yes.
Wherever whatever heaven is, that's where everybody is. No, there is no hell. Biblically speaking, I can tell you there's no hell. Is it possible? It's possible. Anything's possible, but it's not a possible according to the scriptures. Kerma, what did you say about if there is a hell about God? Just I think it was yesterday on Facebook. It was brilliant.
I would say that, you know, since we're one with God and we're all connected to Him, for God, if God were to reject a single soul, He would have to deny Himself and send Himself to hell, because we're all a part of Him.
That's the revelation of the new covenant, you guys. We literally, as Germa said, we are one. We are one with God. The intricacy of how the universe works and how the earth rotates on its axis and how the sun comes up every morning from the east and goes down every night from the west, there is a creation there. And it's just logical to believe in the creator. Now, I'm looking at my cell phone right now. I don't know who made that. I don't know where they made it. I don't know what their name was. I never heard their voice. I never saw their face. I know somebody made it, because it's got form and order. It tells me my time. Where do you think that they got the idea for the clock in that cell phone? The way the earth works, you guys. That's where they got it. It's logical. The most logical thing in the world. Even if we can't answer every question about the creator of the cell phone, the most logical thing is the world is to say somebody made that, or somebody made the machine that made that. Somebody had the idea for that. Somebody had the idea for this planet. Somebody had the idea for this earth. Somebody had the idea for this universe. Somebody had the idea for the concept of the good news of the gospel. Now, having said all of that, is it possible that the same creator also had a concept that would deal with the way that we would procreate, the way that we would show intimacy towards one another? Is it possible that God himself, I said it this last week, thought of the concept of the clitoris? To me, that is the greatest proof, if you will, that there is a God in the universe, the clitoris. The clitoris has no other purpose other than to give sexual pleasure. Nobody, certainly no man, would have thought of that. We don't need a clitoris in order to procreate, but and with the male penis, that's a little what is that?
Redundant.
Yeah, thank you. That's a little redundant, isn't it? The male penis. With the penis, it has dual function. The clitoris does not, you guys. That is why I believe that the female species is God's highest form of creation. God chose to put that thing on them, in my humble opinion. But God created us, male and female. That we were one man, according to the scriptures, according to Genesis. Adam and Eve were considered man. Eve came out of Adam, don't forget. This is not to say that the woman is the lesser of the species. If I had to say, I think that men and women are completely equal, being the father of two daughters, the former husband of my wife. I'm big fans of theirs. And I think, at the very least, that women are 100% equal to us. We know this is the great revelation of Paul the Apostle. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. There's not even free people and slaves, as far as God is concerned. Everybody is one, as Germa said. But if I had to say, I would say women are the superior species, if I had to say. But at the very least, women are equal. That has not been the case for the vast, however long human history has been going on. From the Garden of Eden, forget what Christianity tells you about 6,000 years or whatever. It doesn't make a difference. Science today tells us that we all came from an original couple somewhere in Africa, ironically around the place where the Garden of Eden was supposedly from. We're so genetically connected, they've tracked us back all from an original couple. From that time up until about 150 years ago or thereabouts, Women were pretty much considered the property of men. Would you agree with that, gentlemen?
Yes.
Yeah, I think there were little periods in there where women got a little bit more freedom, but then they would go away and then.
Well, and probably,
so yes, you're correct. Yes.
That would be interesting to see. This would be a great study for Michael. It would be interesting to see if the periods where women had a little bit more freedom coincided where a little bit more of the understanding of grace was being articulated on the planet. Now, we know that the concept of grace has retreated over the course of, you know, all these centuries. And and Mike's got a great take on it. I got to get him back on the show to talk about it. Why, over the history, since the cross and in the last 2,000 years, that when grace raised its head above legalism, above religion and Christianity, that it receded back. We've got a little bit of a clue. But suffice it to say that for the vast majority of human history, women were considered property of men. So,
Yes. Even
though, obviously, we are still physiologically the same as Adam and Eve were, we are not spiritually the same. We are not relationally to God. They were created in the image of God. We are created in God and God in us. Big difference. You're not an image of God, you guys, trying to figure this out. God's inside of you. But physically, God made man and women to do certain things. And women, of course, have been, as I said, downtrodden and considered the property of man until, for certain, when the women's rights movement kicked in full force a little over 100 years ago. And then in the 1960s and early 70s, this thing called the sexual revolution came into being. And women in mass, more and more so to this day, thank God, found this thing called the clitoris. And it changed everything. It changed everything, you guys. Women who had absolutely no rights, nowhere to turn. Let's think about this, you guys. Back in the day, men would come into a village and they would lay down with a woman. Whatever the man found attractive at the time, it probably was at the time a larger breast and childbearing hips. They were biologically programmed, men were. And I would argue to this day, to spread their seed for the survival of the species. Oh, by the way, we don't have to spread our seed for the survival of the species. We've got about 7 billion people on the planet right now, you guys.
Yeah, I think we're good.
But we're still working the same way biologically. The problem is we're still thinking the same way. Men are still thinking like cavemen. This is a problem because everything changed. When women got the right to vote and got rights, and the sexual revolution came in, this literally changed everything. Men have not changed. Here's what happened, you guys. Back, maybe I won't use the phrase you guys again. I think 3 times in the last 5 minutes is enough. I'm self-editing as we go on, beautiful humans. That is quality radio. Women, since the Garden of Eden, since day one, have been abandoned by their men. Remember, in the Genesis story, the serpent tempts Eve with the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And Eve partakes, and nothing happens. Nothing happens. It wasn't until Eve offered it to Adam that when Adam partook, that's when all hell broke loose. That's when the shit hit the fan. And the reason it did was because Adam's role, according to the instruction from God, was to guard the garden. Eve wasn't to guard the garden. That was not her role. It was Adam's role to guard the garden. And Adam screwed up big time. Big time Dick Cheney. And when he partook of that fruit, that's when they were cast out of paradise. That's when they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. So literally from day one, ladies and gentlemen, I almost had you guys there. From day one, man abrogated his responsibilities to his woman, or we could say abandoned his woman. And from that point on, you have men going into villages, procreating with women, bedding down for a time, and then heading back out for the next hunt to the next village and leading the woman pregnant, maybe with children, in a cave somewhere all by herself. Guys would go off to war. There wasn't internet or telephone back in the day. They went off to war and never came back. And so women, over the course of these, thousands, millions of years, have developed an inbred fear of abandonment. Everybody say fear of abandonment.
Fear of abandonment.
Fear of abandonment.
Well, I feel like I'm at an old charismatic church right now.
Exactly.
Today,
it was like coming home week or whatever they call that. It's fear of abandonment, you guys. This is it. You ladies that are listening to me right now, this is in your DNA. You are fearful of being abandoned, and rightfully so. You know this is true. Now, some women have a huge fear of abandonment. Some fear abandonment very small, but a lot has to do with your DNA and with your upbringing. But you guys know that. I mean, the vast majority of women have been abused by some male figure in their life: their father, their uncle, their big brother, a boyfriend, a boss, somebody. Now, if you didn't get physically or emotionally abused by a man, consider yourself very, very fortunate. You couple that with the genetic disposition towards being afraid that you're going to fail. Excuse me, that you're afraid that you're going to be abandoned. And as all people do, we all do this. We all try to justify or validate what we're afraid of. I do it. Greg does it. Girma does it. You do it. Sean does it even. We try to prove that we're right. You know why we do that, you guys? Because we want to be right. We want to be, to coin a term, righteous. But we have good news for you tonight. You already are righteous. You don't have to validate your fear anymore. Ladies, you don't have to prove that your fear of being abandoned is right. But you do, and you did. You've always done it. We have the story from starting with Adam and Eve. But you got stories throughout the scriptures. You got the story of Samson and Delilah. You've got so many stories where women really screwed up their guys. They'll fuck you up. They'll fuck you up. Those women will fuck you up. But here's the thing. That is funny. That's funny. Here's the thing is that back in the day, up until about 100 years ago, women had no rights. If a guy didn't like it, all they had to do was backslap their women, backhand them. If a guy was a jerk, well, a woman was unlucky that she was married to with the other 25 wives and, 700 concubines or whatever. She had no rights. She was cattle. They were chattel women.
Yes.
Thank God that changed. Thank God somebody had a revelation. Somebody had an understanding. We believe that it was produced by the Holy Spirit, which is resident in every single human heart, imputed with righteousness every person is, including, of course, women and children, babies we're talking about here, at birth, at conception, imputed with righteousness and redemption and sanctification and wisdom, the wisdom of the ages, the wisdom of the rock of ages. And somebody, some woman, some women, and some men got the idea, maybe women are equal with men. Going back to the New Testament writings, you guys can use the Bible to justify everything. Paul, the great teacher of grace, the great key teacher of the gospel, they take his teaching about women should shut up in church. To this day, Greg, there are thousands of Christian denominations that don't allow women to be pastors or to teach in church because in one sentence, in one line, in the New Testament letter from Paul, he said, women, shut up.
Yeah, he said, yeah, exactly.
No, that's where you talk so I can take a drink of water.
Oh.
This is a learning curve, ladies and gentlemen.
It's also an interesting thing where you can look at the New Testament not being scripture, and how we get this craziness in Christianity where you have to feel like you have to make everything jive, even when things are completely contradictory. Women speaking in churches or in the congregation or the meetings is another one of those things, because there were obviously in the New Testament, it talks about prophetesses and women that actually had a role in speaking in church, and the tradition tells us that there was a woman that went around with Paul that was quite a good speaker.
Not to mention the first report of the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself came from who? A woman.
Yeah, the women.
A woman. Mary Magdalene, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
The so-called wife of Jesus. That's for another time. Is it possible that God created men and women to be equal, but to have different roles for the effective and the benefit of humanity? Obviously, you guys, everything that I've ever learned of real importance about the female and male dynamic, I've learned from women. Almost everything that I have ever learned, I've learned from women. Is it possible, as one woman told me one time, that all you need to know about what's happening with men and women in the 21st century is our sex organs, how we were created, in other words? Men, you guys, there I said it, are made to penetrate. They're made to go forth. They're made to be erect and hard and fertile and potent. And I'll say it again, to penetrate. That's how it works. And women, thank God, were created to receive. Yes, this is how life goes on, you guys. As much as we hate to admit it, this will never change. Men will always produce the seed, and women will always house the seed. All you need to know about the difference between men and women is our organs, our sexual organs. I remember many, many years ago, I think I was in Christianity at the time, might have been in the late 80s, Time Magazine came out with a cover story that says, "Science now proves men and women are different from birth." Now, when I saw that, I thought it might be a National Lampoon cover. But no, it was a serious piece that they had literally done significant scientific research to prove that men and women are... You guys, we are different. We are not the same. That is not to say we're not equal. We are completely and utterly equal. As I said earlier, if I had to say, if somebody is pointing a gun to my head and said, who is the superior species, male or female, I would say female. But males have a role to play, and females have a role to play. And the problem is, you women got too much power, goddammit. You want what we have. You want the seed. You can't produce life. Now, I'm talking about beyond, obviously, just the procreation process. You cannot produce life without the seed. You want the penis. You need the penis. It is shocking. It's almost a miracle that there are any straight women left in 2012. But there are. There's lots of them out there. Now, there may be more lesbians than there used to be. I don't know. But it is amazing to me that with how wimpy and just weak and mealy-mouthed and having absolutely no clue how men are today, it's amazing to me that women still want us. I mean, that Greg, we don't believe in miracles per se the way we did in Christianity, but if there's anything that's miraculous, that might be one of the things.
Yes, it is. I see it all the time, and I didn't think that much about the whole male female dynamic until I got divorced. Maybe that's why I'm divorced, But but I've thought a lot about it and studied about it and talked to you about it a lot since I've been single again. And I see men that are just ridiculous in their I don't even know how to describe it.
In their approach to women, they're ridiculous.
In their approach to women, it's
absurd. It is really, really pathetic. And women know it, you guys. There's a reason that women are attracted to the so-called bad boys, because they're the guys that are portraying a confidence. Let me tell you something. Survey after survey between men and women. Men, what do you find attractive in a woman? A looks, youthfulness, sexuality, and then, you know, intelligence, ability, ambition, etc. Women, exactly the opposite. The number one thing, survey after survey, that women find attractive in men, confidence. This is why you'll see ugly guys all the time with attractive women.
Tell me about it.
You're a good-looking guy, dude, you know.
Okay.
Confidence, that's what they find. Why? Because that speaks of penetration. This confident guy might be able to provide a house for me. Women are walking houses. They are walking nurseries. They want protection. They want a roof over their head. Now, we've abrogated our responsibilities, guys. We really screwed this thing up. We fucked it up. Yeah, we did. All right, so now what are you going to do? Now what are you going to do? I'll suggest something. Repent. I'm going to use go ahead.
Have a change of thinking.
Right. Change your stinking thinking. Women, by the way, most bad boys are not bad at all. They're wimps. They're just masquerading their insecurity in naughty behavior. Eventually it comes out when the woman locks down with them. Then they find out that the women have the control and the power, and they don't know what to do with it. You guys, first of all, here's the first thing, gentlemen, is consider the women in your life completely and utterly equal to you, and yet not the same. They have different needs. They have different perspectives. They have different desire than you do. They're not you. And it's okay. Ladies, it's okay that men have a different sexuality than you do. They have a different sex drive than you do. Are you upset with somebody if you like strawberry ice cream and somebody else doesn't? That's okay. Just because somebody likes to have sex more than you do or is interested in sex more than you do doesn't make them a bad person. It just makes them different. And here's the biggest recommendation I can give you guys is don't approach your sexual partner. I don't care if you're gay or straight or gay. Don't approach them the way that you think about sex. That's a big mistake. Know what they want from sex. And there are certain things that women and men universally, independent of each other, want from sex. And here's the one thing. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, women want to be penetrated and men want to penetrate. I like to say it this way. What women really are attracted to is the dick. The dick. They may fall for a short time for the asshole, but they don't want the asshole. You know why? They already got one. And they certainly don't want the pussy because they already have one. They want the dick. An asshole smells, it excretes waste and toxins. The penis produces life. And if it's working properly, she's going to be happy and you're going to be happy, gentlemen. And if you are such a insecure, it all starts with your understanding that you're righteous. It all starts with the understanding that you're perfect. And there's so much more other information out there, good news, if you will, to be gleaned. And we'll be sharing with you on this webcast. Germ, you've done a lot of posting about male and female relationships. What are your thoughts as we close this webcast tonight?
when the things that you're saying, it certainly gives me a lot to think about, and to I need time to digest everything. I don't really have any comments right now.
Well, I got to say, you sound good, my friend. You sound healthy and even more energetic than when you came on the air with us about an hour ago. And I'm happy. Digest the information. You guys, we have so much more to share. I'm writing a book about it. I'm writing a book about all this. But here's the bottom line. Greg, you know this. Germ, you know this. That the firmness, if you will, the erect status that a man must take to please himself and a woman starts with their understanding that they're perfect and righteous, that they're not doing anything wrong. Any sexual thought you guys have is not wrong. It's not evil. It's not immoral. Follow your heart, you guys. That's good preaching, Roberts. Say goodnight, Gregory.
Goodnight, Gregory.
Thanks for joining us, you guys. I want to thank Sean O'Halloran for hanging in there and doing everything he does, and Germa Colston. Greg Amberge, our senior correspondent, coming from Cincinnati. Let us hear from you this week at glennkleinonline.com. Please recommend us. You go there and sign up for the newsletter, and you go to, and search us out on Facebook on the good news on Glenn Klein Online Radio webcast. And we'll do it in 1 week's time in the midst of the Republican National Convention right here as the world looks in on Tampa Bay, Florida. Until then, this is Glenn Klein Online saying... Shalom, everybody.